Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
This is Jabba the Pod.
Bright suns, and welcome to Sci-Fi Wire's Jabba the Pod, our weekly Star Wars podcast where we discuss and celebrate the movies, shows, books, comics, games, and everything else from the galaxy far, far away. Every generation has a legend, every legend has a podcast, and this is ours. I am your host, disgraced former Jedi and Force mystic Brian Silliman. Joining me, as always, are the greatest co-hosts in the galaxy, starting with former Force-sensitive Assassins Guild member turned droids rights activist, Caitlin Bush.
Hello there.
And the man who lets us record on his starship, the smuggler with a not-so-secret heart of gold, captain of the Starbinger, Matt Romano. Is that you?
Greetings!
Hey, he's here.
I got a helmet.
Hey. There he is.
Oh,
it's a good helmet, bits. Matt. Now, can you get it off?
Take it off.
Can you get it off?
Can you get that helmet off? Okay. While we're all still in a self-imposed exile on our own personal octos, our protocol droid Y1RZZ Human Podcast Relations, a.k.a. Wires, is keeping the Starbinger safe. He called in briefly yesterday to me, and I talked with him. It sounds like he's gotten into a little bit of a scrap and possibly made both friends and enemies. He couldn't say too much, but he does say hello. He has nothing to say this week, but he says hello to everybody.
Okay, but he's okay?
Yeah, he's okay. I mean, he made it brief. He's still doing self-tapes, so I'm trying to help him how I can. But
okay.
He may have started some kind of rebellion of some kind, L3 style. I don't know what... Yeah, I knew you would be. I don't know what kind of ship we're going to go back to, Matt, but... But he's living because he's immune, of course, being a droid. He's immune to all kinds of things.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, despite being immune, you know, you should always check on your droids in this situation. You know,
he's immune. He's fictitious. So with both of those things, he's safe. So he doesn't need to self-isolate.
In case we all forgot. This is a bit.
But, yeah. Is it?
It is.
Anyway, with that, let's go to some news on the march.
News on the march.
Okay, the big... I don't want to talk about this, but we have it. The time has come.
You're very upset about this. I can talk about it if you don't want to talk about it.
No, we'll get into it. First off, I hesitate calling it news because it's still very much a rumor. Still a rumor. No matter what anyone says, what happened, and if you're listening to this, we're recording on the 27th of March. You've probably already heard about this. The news broke at this time, right after we recorded last week, this news broke, and right after we'd done everything there was, Ahsoka covering Ahsoka's return, everything, this thing broke. On the same day, Ahsoka Tano returned to the Clone Wars, and Ashley Eckstein's big day and everything like that. It was leaked through sources, not very good ones, on Screen Rant, that Rosario Dawson was cast as Ahsoka Tano in The Mandalorian. And then how this works is one source says it, and then everyone else jumps on it. And then once Variety publishes it, that's a trade, and then everyone else starts reporting it because they believe Variety, and it goes like wildfire. So that was, everyone's just taking it as Force gospel. So there's that. Couple things though. For one, everyone's saying she's officially cast in The Mandalorian. The thing is, The Mandalorian's already, season two is already shot. It's already wrapped.
Yeah.
So technically, if she's in it, she's already, not only has she been cast a while back, but she's already shot it, for one thing.
Right.
Another thing, everyone's tagging her on Twitter and all of these rumors. She's active on Twitter, tweeting other things, says nothing about this, Rosario Dawson. Neither does Jon Favreau, Dave Filoni, the Star Wars main account, Kathleen Kennedy. Nobody is saying anything. Usually, when a trade reports something like this, you can believe it. You can trust it. But Star Wars, as we know, as Caitlin and I have talked about many times, is different. Variety also reported, let's not forget, a couple of years ago, James Mangold is officially directing a Boba Fett movie.
Oh, yeah.
James Mangold's quote. Yeah.
What happened to that?
They're like, it's like, this is happening. And everyone said, oh, it's happening. Oh, my God, a Boba Fett movie. And they treated it like it was happening. Mm-hmm. When James Mangold finally spoke about it, his quote was, huh? What? Because he wasn't. Mm-hmm. There was nothing on StarWars.com that was a complete fabrication. This is the Rosario thing is an old thing. It's an old rumor. Here's what I know. I'm not mad about. Although I'm not happy that it's not Ashley, and a lot of fans aren't, but apparently that was never going to be in the cards. I don't like that they took advantage of this day when Ahsoka was very much in the news already and turned it away from Ahsoka the character and Ashley and did that and took and made what should have been a nice day for Ashley Eckstein and made it kind of a heartbreaking day. I don't like that.
You know, if it was official, like you said, you know, if this is a leak or whatever, you know, it's not confirmed. And I feel like if this was something that was going to happen in Mandalorian season two, this is something that Star Wars would have waited for a trailer or just let it happen in the season. You know, there's so many great guest stars we got in Mandalorian season one that we had no idea were going to be in that show. So I'm just shocked that they would release this information ahead of the season. It seems like Mandalorian is very secretive for its own good. You know, they were like, why release that?
If this is real and it is a leak, then it like the timing sucked, obviously, as we all know. But ultimately, like if this isn't Disney / Lucasfilm leaking this, they wouldn't do that because they wouldn't want, or maybe they are. Maybe they're piggybacking off of this news of Ahsoka that's really hot right now, just makes people talk about it even more than they would have originally with her being back for the Clone Wars. It's all a bit of a mess. And like you said, Brian, you and I have talked about how if it's not on StarWars.com, then it's not 100% confirmed. But at the same time, me being a reporter who, you know, and you also, Brian, being a reporter, we pay attention to these kinds of things and we have to. And ultimately, as much as Star Wars fans have been not burned, but misled one time at least by the trades and all of that. I think, I don't know. I'm down to believe this. I really am.
I think I'm still holding to the rumor. Cause I mean, the one thing that's pretty clear is that if she's in the show, it's not going to be Ashley. Ashley knew nothing about this. She has actually posted. She's the only one that's responded to it in terms of official Star Wars people. And she did so on her Instagram after a weekend of pretty much silence and said having a broken heart, and then rebounded with positivity like only she can, like she always does, and was right back in it, right back at service, helping people out every which way in this hard time. And her Instagram response was pretty much, she's not involved in The Mandalorian at all. She doesn't know anything about what's going on, so there's no point in asking her. But she did add that she's humbled and awed by the outpouring of love that she got from fans, because there was a lot of fans that said there's only one Ahsoka, it's Ashley or bust for them. And while some that says they like Rosario just fine, but they're like, Ashley is my Ahsoka. And then there were a lot of fans that were all in on Rosario. It was all over the map, but a lot of fans were really positive about Ashley. And why wouldn't she? And she says, Ashley did say Ahsoka has always been a team effort. And the direct quote that she wrote on, it was one of those things where you take pictures of your notes and it looked like notes on your iPhone and then you just post it. And she said, the final decisions for Ahsoka are not mine to make, and I cannot comment on something that I truly know nothing about. And she ended with praise for the Clone Wars being back and the fans for bringing that back. And she recentered it on the Clone Wars. And since then, she has still posted nothing but positivity for Ahsoka, Clone Wars, Star Wars, Ahsoka Lives, etc. So
yeah, you'd expect nothing less. I think, you know, all of this, I don't think any of this truly lessens the excitement that Star Wars fans have about the Clone Wars. I know that you were very happy about it, Brian, but, you know, in my mind, this doesn't take anything away from everything that's going on with Clone Wars, with Ashley. People still love her. People love her as Ahsoka in the Clone Wars and all of the other animated series that she has done. I never expected, if they were going to bring Ahsoka in for The Mandalorian, I never would have expected Ashley to be the live action Ahsoka, which, you know, sucks as much as we all love her.
It was a long shot.
Yeah, but that's just not how Star Wars has ever done things. It will bring in live action people to do animation, but I could never. Obviously, we've seen like Matt Lanter in The Mandalorian last season, but he wasn't playing Anakin. He wasn't playing anyone that he voices in the show. So I could see Ashley jump to live action.
They used Forest Whitaker.
Right. Mm-hmm. I could see Ashley having a cameo as, you know, a Matt Lanter type thing where she comes in and she's a side character for a bit, but I couldn't see her. I couldn't see Lucasfilm bringing her on to be a live action Ahsoka or a live action, I guess, name character.
The thinking a lot of people had is they're thinking about the closest we've come to that is when Maul popped up in Solo, Sam Witwer still did the voice.
Yeah.
But it was Ray Park in the body and Sam Witwer doing the voice. But the thing there is Ray Park never did Maul's voice.
Right.
That was Peter Serafinowicz in episode one. Serafinowicz was never going to come back for this ever. and why not use Sam Witwer, who's perfect in the part? So fans are thinking, well, would Ashley do the voice and Rosario do? And no, that doesn't make any sense to me. That seems like an insult. Why would Rosario Dawson, who whose career is doing just fine, come in and have her voice be if she's going to do it, then do it all, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
She wouldn't do anything else.
It's really sad about the Ashley news because we all were hoping for Ashley to get this part, and we understand, I guess, why. But Rosario Dawson isn't a bad choice. I mean, that's a good runner up.
We've been thinking about it for a while because it was a rumor even before that delightful menu taster's choice menu of Mandalorian actors that we talked about weeks ago. Right? We probably should. It feels like another life we were talking
that
about.
That was literally another life.
And it's like we really shouldn't have heard talk about rumors. Years. And she was on that and it was confirming that. I mean, this rumor has been around for a while. She herself has campaigned, said she wanted to do this part. She's taken pictures with lightsabers. But she has still said nothing. Nobody at Lucasfilm has said anything. So until someone official says anything, I'm not buying it. And although it probably is true, but it may be official, but it's not official. So don't dump all your stock in Rosario Dawson. Is that a thing?
If I had some credits to bet, I would say that, you know, we're not going to get any official confirmation until we see it in a trailer or the show itself.
Yeah. I mean, I also and we have to move on. But the thing that and I'm wondering what you guys take is when it comes to live action Ahsoka, The Mandalorian in this time period, 5 years after Battle of Jakku, is a weird place for her to pop up.
Obviously, we're going around the galaxy. This kind of enlist for the Mandalorian. He can kind of go wherever he needs to. So,
well, yeah, and the journey with the Yoda baby now, you know, like he's going to be on looking for some help with the Force. And who in the galaxy right now has that other than Luke, Leia? That's it.
It's true, but she's also now, let's not forget, at the end of Rebels, which is after the Battle of Endor, she's off, Ahsoka the White is off with Sabine looking for Ezra, and who knows how long that took.
Yeah,
this is 5 years kind of after that period, but, and normally I'd say, well, they'll just kind of forget that, but Dave Filoni is heavily involved in Mandalorian. He's not going to forget
Dave
that.
Dave Filoni will not forget.
Yeah, Dave Filoni remembers everything. So it's also the I'm all for Ahsoka in live action, but in Mandalorian seems like a weird choice. I'd say it's like something like the Cassian Andor show is a much better fit for her as she was Fulcrum, he was a Fulcrum. And if they're going to show the history of him becoming a Fulcrum, you know, that would be a more natural choice there. But yeah. I don't know.
Now I just want Ahsoka and the Cassian Andor show. Like,
yeah. I mean, that seems like a better fit. That seems like a better fit to me. It's like because all how the Fulcrums really became Fulcrum, to the point where the Fulcrum symbol is her symbol on her head. And Cassian Andor, when he, as we know, he was also a Fulcrum agent. When he calls in the Shadows of the Empire experience, uses that. That's still the Fulcrum symbol. When you hear his voice, it's very cool how they do that. That would make more sense to me. But as yet, Lucasfilm has not heard my calls, but taken my calls rather. They hear them because they hear them.
I think we should move on. We've spent a lot of time on this.
I agree. I don't have a clue what you're talking about. But that was that was always going to be a big nugget. So anyway, I apologize for nothing. It's what it is. Anyway, we are recording on Friday, the 27th, 2020. And that means there is a brand new episode of season 7 of Star Wars, The Clone Wars.
Yes, sir.
Clone Wars saved and more fun with Ahsoka, the mechanic. So, of course, we're going to celebrate and discuss the Kark and Criff out of this episode. Now, there will be some new cannon coming at you, some hot cannon. And when there is, we'll fire off our trusty cannon. And if we have hot takes along the way, we'll sound the hot take alarm. And if anything really blew our minds, then we'll let loose with a seismic mind charge. Now, this episode is brand new, so definitely watch the episode before you listen to this podcast or watch this video. There's a natural
order,
progression, as there's a natural order, as Caitlin has said. You watch it, and then you do this.
I will keep saying it. I will keep saying it.
Yeah, it's not like, oh my God, Cad Bane is back. I mean, Cad Bane's not in this episode, but, you know, so... But still,
what?
You know, you don't want to be spoiled. So to help you out, we are, of course, were we not going to get on a magical train and woo-woo sound the spoiler klaxon? Oh, that's right. Yes. Strand cast the baby, build the baby with the fireman's hat. Yes, I want it. Even dwarf started small. Fitzcarraldo, if we're all set, punch it.
Begun. The Clone War has...
Stuck with me, Sky Guy.
Okay, Star Wars The Clone Wars 7.6, March 26, 2020. The new episode hit Disney Plus early this morning. The title, Deal No Deal. 26 minutes long. Some of that, like we talked about last week, are the foreign credits. But
oh, yeah.
When you're looking at them, some episodes are still 23, some are 24. This one said 26. So I'm still going to say it. I don't think anybody cares, but I'm still going to say it.
All
right. Directed by Stuart Lee. Our friend Stuart Lee is back once again as directing with Nathaniel Villanueva. Other episodes directed by Stuart Lee, as we know, directed Bad Batch number 2, and as well as many, many others, and our beloved Nomad Droids. Villanueva has not, to my knowledge, directed a Clone Wars episode before, but he's been a storyboard artist most recently for Bad Batch 2 and 4, and the same throughout all 4 seasons of Rebels and 5 episodes of Resistance. So I think they're kind of using this season 7 as kind of these people that have worked on the show for a while, giving them a little taste in the director's chair, which is nice, alongside an old pro like Stuart Lee, not old, but a pro like Stuart Lee, who's done many, many episodes. So that's nice. The moral, mistakes are valuable lessons often learned too late.
Always strive to be the best you can be. No mistakes. That's the Jedi way.
Yeah, you never make mistakes.
Always.
Talk about the Jedi way. I mean, mistakes are valuable lessons. I mean, they learn valuable lessons, and then they learn them way too late. It's like 3 weeks after Order 66, they're in the cosmic force being like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, hey, I think there was something going on with those clones. Anyway, let's run down the episode. Crossroads is the first thing said in the episode. We see in the recap, not everyone sees the Jedi as heroes, a lesson she only recently learned herself. So that ties right into the moral. Ahsoka's learning what the real view of the Jedi is. And that doesn't really tie in to this episode all that much, but we do learn there's a difference between the higher levels of Coruscant and what's going on the lower level. Something we kind of already knew, but we're spending a lot more time down here on the ground, on 1313 anyway. Trace and Ahsoka are living that mechanic life. Trace starts with the questions right away, where Ahsoka studied, etc., because Ahsoka's proving formidable with her starship. And Ahsoka says, is like, where did you study? And she says, Skywalker Academy.
And then Caitlin's heart broke.
Yeah, I mean, which is accurate. She did kind of study at Skywalker Academy.
He
was her professor.
I'm surprised that like average people just don't know like who the Jedi All-Stars are. And I guess that makes sense because there's a lot of Jedi. But you would think, you know, there'd be some kind of like public knowledge of Yoda and Obi-Wan. Like, these are the generals in, like, this big army.
That they've heard the name Skywalker batted around.
Yeah.
It's like, right. When you see what Skywalker did on Felucia.
General Skywalker, like, one of the heroes of the war. Like, in my mind, the Jedi are, like, they're, like, superheroes, kind of, to regular people. And I guess maybe because there is a lot of negative feelings toward the Jedi at this point, and it's growing, maybe they're seen as enemies. But even if you were afraid of them or hated them, I feel like you would still know their names.
Yeah, and maybe there's just, like, there's billions of people on Coruscant, and they just, there's just too many people.
It hasn't made, legends of him haven't made their way around the laundromat yet.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess they do know about other legends, though. They've heard about other things, as have we all. Anyway, Trace is built a starship piece by piece, and she's named it the Silver Angel. Ahsoka gives her a little bit of criff about that name, and then she says, well, she named Ahsoka's bike. She named it Trash.
And I like that part.
Which is nice. So good.
I hope they say it's like, okay, we're on the ship. Ahsoka, go get Trash and meet us here. I hope they keep that going, although maybe not. So she says, so is Ahsoka going to stay? And right now it's just until she fixes Trash. And then Ahsoka says, things couldn't be more of a mess for me than they already are. And I thought, oh, never say that. It's like, because we know it's like, that is really not true. And also,
like, you're Anakin's Padawan. Things can get worse.
Yeah. Like, and also we're... What, under a year away from Order 66? And
when it rains, it pours.
And the Empire, you know, and generally in life, it's like, I don't want to be a downer, but things can always get worse. Always. Always. So just never say, it's like, well, can't get any worse. And then cue thunderclap. Anyway, Rafa's on the scene with a big job, and she needs a new pilot and a ship. Her laundromat is a front. She says she gambles. A little bit of a scoundrel, Rafa is, although we kind of already knew that. The mechanic shop where their parents left them that before they, quote unquote, split. So I don't know if she meant if they like split as in they split the scene or divorced or if it was space divorce or happened there.
Guess they just left. I guess it was just I wouldn't guess divorce. I would guess they were just like, all right, see you kids. Bye.
Yeah, and they were nobodies that, you know, sold the mechanic shop for drinking. Well, they left them the shop. They didn't sell them for drinking money.
They were nobodies from nowhere, you guys. They didn't mean anything to this story.
Yeah. Trace.
We know that's not true.
Trace Martez. Is that? No, actually, she's Trace Palpatine. Yeah.
She's that's Trace why the Windu. Emperor's
always wanted Rafa Martez dead. Who is she? Who are they really? Who are their powerful? It's like, no, they're just the Martez sisters. She then gives Ahsoka the business, and she says,
you show up out of nowhere, suddenly you and my sister are inseparable? What are you after?
Excuse me?
Come on. Everyone plays an angle. I don't mind, except when it involves Trace.
And it reminded me of, sorry to turn this into Succession the pod for a second, but it instantly reminded me of Logan Roy saying, everybody's got a game.
It's true. I mean, Brian and I, you and I talk about Succession a lot. So, I mean, this is now a Succession podcast, but
lots of crossover with the Star Wars fandom. Succession, Star Wars.
Always.
Always.
It's like there's a very large circle here of like crossover.
Yeah, a Venn diagram. Yeah.
Thank you. That's what I was trying to like make with my hands. It doesn't work.
I mean,
like
I can prove it. I could look if you see right here, I've prepared a presentation.
For all those listening at home, Brian has a madness chalkboard behind him. It says madness.
Yeah, it's literally the meme of Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny going like, like that. They also dropped the term mech bay. So I guess that's the GFFA term for mechanic shop. Mm-hmm. I feel like just last week they said, well, you land in front of a mechanic shop and now they're trying to make mech bay happen. So I don't know if we should we fire the cannon for mech bay?
Yeah, mech bays.
Sure.
Okay, sure. Mech bay, cannon, fire. Yeah, take take that.
That felt good.
Hottest cannon around. So the Silver Angel takes off in this glorious shot. It rises up through that big shaft and then off into the skies of Coruscant. We get a good look at the ship. Matt Romano, our biggest ship enthusiast here on the show. What are your thoughts on this ship, the Silver Angel? Do you like it?
It's a good ship. You know, not a lot of frills to it, but it's
not thrilling.
Yeah, you know, nice. I don't know. It's good.
Okay,
it flies.
Good.
It flies now.
It flies now.
They fly now.
Okay. I thought you'd be a little more enthusiastic about the ship.
No, I totally am. I think it's very cool. It looks like a transport. You know, there's not a lot of cool.
Did it remind you a little of the Empire Strikes Back transports? The first transport is away.
Yay. No, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly
except
where my
smaller.
Head is going. Yeah.
Yay. This is that one guy like.
Yay.
Anyway, it's like right, everyone. That's one.
It's cold in here. It's really cold.
Yeah, so they cross into military airspace, and here was my favorite moment coming up on my favorite moment in the episode, and I have a feeling I'm not alone. At first I thought, oh, it's great to see these ships again, the Republic ships. It's been so long. And then I was like, no, it hasn't. It's just been a week, like
it's
really
been like
since,
a week and
like
a half.
2 weeks since Bad Batch. We just had them. But I was like, oh, it's like breathing again. It's like we just had them. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? Ahsoka says to ignore it. They don't, and then they get Yularen on the comm, who pretty much tells them to sod off, that this is restricted airspace.
He's gonna take their pilot's license.
Yeah, he says it's funny. He says, who is this? What's your license number? And I immediately, you think New Hope. It's like, who is this? What's your operating number?
Yeah.
I expected somebody to cut it off. It's a boring conversation anyway, but they didn't go that far. Just a little taste. Then we cut to Yularen.
I love her going, license? Do I need one of those?
Sorry. So sorry. It won't happen again.
That's a thing that I need?
It's like, wait, was that canon? I didn't hear.
Yeah,
is there
the galaxy DMV? Like, and then like you're going to get pulled over in space.
Welcome. You need to take the test. Now, how many space points have you accrued? I don't know if you have enough bells to buy a license. Anyway. That's right.
This is an Animal Crossing crossover now? Is this what
it
is?
Yeah, now it's Animal Crossing the pod.
This is an Animal Crossing podcast. Okay.
Tom Nuke is a cult leader. Anyway, we cut to Yularen on the bridge. We actually see him, and he's gotten an upgraded look. He's got a new style going here. It's good. He gets a little makeover after six other seasons. Anakin is there too, and Yularen asks if they should go after them, but then there's this glorious moment of Anakin senses Ahsoka and Ahsoka senses him, and then it plays Ahsoka's old theme from the previous six seasons of the Clone Wars, and it's just beautiful, and he says, nope, it's nothing, just let them go. Instantly, it was my favorite in the episode. Caitlin, was it yours?
Yeah, it was definitely mine. I felt my heart break a little bit. It was a continuation of her saying that she learned at Skywalker Academy, and then this is the first time that, because I mean, how many days do we know has it been since she left the academy?
It's true. It's probably been a while. And this is the first, I mean, in terms of us, it's been the first time we're seeing these two connecting in any way in years. I mean, it's been 84 years since Wrong
it's
Jedi.
It's the first time in a while that they're not, you know, together or in the same room, but that they're, like you said, connecting. And Anakin, again, we have to shout out the animation, the way that Anakin's face can move and all the little ticks, and you can see the
hers as well.
Yes, and you can see the sorrow, and you can see Anakin kind of gearing himself up and then saying, okay, it's fine. We're going to let her go. It's fine.
Yeah, it also, I'm wondering if it reminded either of you of the scene in Return of the Jedi of Admiral Piet and Vader on the ship when Shuttle Tiderium is going in. And Piet's like, shall I hold them? And Vader senses something. Piet's like, shall I hold them? He says, no, leave them to me. I will deal with them myself. Very good, my lord. Carry on. It's like, did it remind either one of you of that? I got a big feeling.
Absolutely.
Of that.
It was totally. Okay. It rhymes. It rhymes.
It rhymes.
It's like a Tidurium. It rhymes.
Matt, do you have instantly on the spot, rhyme something with shuttle Tidurium? Go. You have 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Vibranium.
No, that's not a thing. Nope.
Damn it.
Nope. Cross franchising. Also, you barely had it out. No conviction. I give you 0 points.
No, I'll give it to him.
May God have mercy on your soul.
That was a hard one.
I definitely wouldn't have gotten it. So I give it to him.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Caitlin. Nice.
It's not an exact rhyme.
You're welcome, Matt. You know what? You know what, Brian? That was unfair. I'm calling it.
Yeah.
No, no. Nobody said the Star Wars podcasting was fair.
okay.
Fair is where you find it. Just like fun.
There's
anyway,
no more rules anymore.
Angel. Yeah. Yeah, but no. Pilot's license. What? Do I need a rhyming license? The Silver Angel is off at hyperspace. Trace has never flown in hyperspace before, just speeders and on surface stuff, a lot like Ray. Ray was the same, had never been off planet, but she learned how to fly on planet. They are going to Kessel. And I was like, that is cool. It's the first time we're going to Kessel in animation, and I believe only the second time we're going there in any show or movie ever. The only other time, obviously, being Solo: A Star Wars Story. Yep. Trace said, this is something they have heard about. Trace says, I've heard pilots talk about this place. It's legendary. And Ahsoka says, yeah, it's legendary for its corruption. So corruption, everybody drink.
Okay, yeah, there we go. All right.
There's so much corruption.
It's 10:30 a.m.
Yeah, it sticks out all the time. It's just coffee. Anyway, calf. Nobody cares. Anyway, Rafa says they're picking up medicine. I'm like, yeah, right. They go in and they look, and the way in looks a lot like Solo. The landing or whatever. They have those beacons in space, and then the planet surface itself looks just like Solo. Then they land in a much nicer area of the planet than they do in Solo. They're not in the coaxium mines yet. It's much nicer. So some of Kessel is not bad, we find out. They meet a Twi'lek named Kinash Lok, who's the major domo to King Yoruba. So here's some interesting canon on King Yoruba. There's a canon connection here. According to the official guide for Solo, A Star Wars Story, they call it official guide, even though it's much like our beloved visual dictionary. The Pike Syndicate is based on the nearby Obadiah, which we've seen on the show and in fact see in this episode. They struck a deal with Yoruba to be the lone exploiters of resources harvested from the sacrificed side of the planet. Hence, that's why we see them in Solo. So fire the cannon for the King Yoruba Pike Kessel connection. The major domo says they're having a banquet, and I hear banquet and I immediately think we're in for some supply lines, chicken legs.
God, I wish. That'd be so good.
Well, and we saw them. We instantly saw the chicken legs. But Caitlin, what else did we see being served to Rafa, especially? What was on her plate? Didn't you see? I thought this could have been a Caitlin's. Maybe we're about to have a Caitlin Screams moment right here live on the show.
She's, I didn't. She, what was it?
There's one thing on her plate, and it's a pear.
I love that's the thing that Caitlin didn't notice, that it was a pear.
I stuck out immediately. I took a screenshot of it. It's a pear, right? Just one pear. That's all she gets.
Oh, it's a freaking like, pear. Oh my God.
They had to
that's
have.
So good.
Do you think that was intentional? It had to be.
Oh, absolutely. That makes me so happy.
And we're alluding to the infamous pear eating scene in episode 2.
Obi-Wan saw me doing this, he'd be very grumpy, where it's just a whole scene of pear eating. Much celebrated in Caitlin's Countdown to the Rise of Skywalker episode of Attack of the Clones, much ado is made of the pear.
I was going to say, if you want to listen to me and a couple of our coworkers scream about that pear scene for like an absurdly long amount of time, for like 15 minutes of this movie.
You should think the movie was actually subtitled of Rat Tails and Pears, listening to your breakdown of it. That's a kid's book that we should write at some point. We find out the medicine that they're of Rat Tails and Pears, the Attack of the Clone story, a Golden Books.
A Star Wars story.
The medicine they're transporting is unrefined spice. Ahsoka points out that many things can be made out of spice and they aren't all good. So now they are running spice. And I, of course, immediately thought, you were a spice runner? You were a stormtrooper? We could do this all day. Mad Romana, did you think that?
Of course I thought of that.
Yeah.
I loved it, though, because I think that's actually like one of like an unexplored scoundrel area of the galaxy. You know, I want more spice running. Yeah, I'm into it.
You especially want more Kajimi references.
Yeah, give me all that Kajimi. Give me all of it.
See, I feel like you're being 50% sarcastic, but I'm going to take it all as just completely genuine. Caitlin Bush, thoughts on spice running and Kajimi?
Yeah, I think I've said before that I want a Poe Dameron prequel series that's just a live action Disney Plus with our good friend Mr. Isaacs, and he just it's prequel Poe Dameron, and he is a spice runner, and it's just his misadventures as a spice runner.
Would you get a little Zorro lesson there?
That's what
book. I want.
We're getting that as a book. We are. That's going to be a book. They're gonna book it with that one.
I just want a TV series though because I'm selfish and I.
So you want more?
Greedy. I want more.
Okay, Caitlin wants more. You heard it here. Yeah. I mean, quite frankly, I want more too. So I'm not putting her on blast. I want more also. So make it happen, Captain. Anyway, so not all Kessel being a crappy mind. Fire the cannon. Trace thinks that all of the workers, that then they get to the crappy part of the planet. They go to the mines and it's like, oh yeah, this is the Kessel that we know of and get shot in the head all the time on in a battlefront. Trace looks down and says, oh, all those droids. And Ahsoka says, no, they're not droids. They're people. They are slaves. And Rafa gives the classic Padme in episode one. How can that be? The Republic wouldn't stand for it. They'd shut this place down. And Ahsoka said, yeah, you'd think they would. This is one lesson she has learned, and immediately went back to, you know, the hard way from the Zygerians and everything else. So the Republic doesn't exist out here, as Shmi would say. And even if they do, they'll be like, we're a year away from Palpatine going, yeah, slavery. Excellent. Make it happen. So they get the spice. They are off. Yeah, they're off to Obadiah, the planet of the Pikes, which we previously saw in the episode, The Unknown One. The Lost One is the episode, sorry. Dooku, that's where they had a big, Anakin and Obi-Wan had a big fight with Dooku, and that's when they finally found out he's Tyrannus. The memories we've had on Obadiah. They go to get money from Marg Krim, who's a Pike crime syndicate boss. Ahsoka schools Trace and Rafa on the Pikes, telling them that they're awful. Tensions flare. Rafa and Ahsoka argue. Trace freaks out and just about someone taking her ship. She freaks out about it more than Matt freaks out about the Starbinger. And she just jettisons all of the spice out into space, which Matt's never done. But I mean, I was like, okay, that was. And Rafa says, of all the choices you could make, that was literally the worst one. And I thought, is it literally the worst? Because she could have.
I just thought of Han Solo, dumping his cargo at the first sight of trouble, kind of thing. You know.
Oh, okay. I
got the same
thing. Where I thought you were going with that, but okay.
No, okay.
or I thought you said Ben Solo, not Han Solo. I was like, oh, where's
this? No,
going?
Han Solo dumping Solo his cargo at the first sign of trouble.
Yeah, look, even I get bored at sometimes. You think I had a choice? Anyway, so how are they going to deal with the Pikes now? Ahsoka has a plan, and the sisters don't like it, but they don't even know what it is yet. They're back on Obadiah. Last time we were here was in season 6. I've already said that. Marg Krim is played by Steven Stanton in this episode. Other Clone Wars roles by him, he plays Tarkin on the Clone Wars. He also is the voice of Admiral Raddus in Rogue One and lots of other roles. So call up
Admiral
a hammerhead
Corvette. Admiral Raddus.
Yeah.
Open up the shield.
That's a good rail. Okay, thank you.
Open up the shield. Yeah, that classic line. That's not the line.
What's the line?
Well, that was great.
It's open up the shield. That I think. Anyway. They attempt this. Interesting little side fact about Obadiah and Marg Krim again. They both, Obadiah and Marg Krim, feature in the Ventress-based book Dark Disciple that I talked about a couple of weeks ago by Christy Golden. Ventress and the undercover Quinlan Vos have some dealings with them. So isn't that fun?
It's so fun.
Yeah, it's so much fun. It is. Come on.
All the
connections are amazing.
Yeah, the tiny little connections. They attempt the handoff even though they have nothing to hand off. Ahsoka tries the Jedi mind trick to get them out of it, which kind of works until another Pike checks the spice, realizes that, hey, wait a minute, these are empty. And he doesn't say that. He says, get the shield open. He sets them all to action and the chase is on, except not really, because three Pike ships have the Silver Angel in a tractor beam. Ta-da! Cliffhanger, the end. Pears and rat tails, get the shield open. Any special thoughts left remaining in this episode for you, Caitlin Bush?
I'm just really mad I didn't catch the pear. I feel like a failure.
I'll send you a photo once we're done.
That's just where I'm at right now. That's going to be the rest of my day.
She's not going to believe me. I better take a photo.
Just like, I'm stuck in my house. I have a living room and I have my bedroom, and I'm just going to like spend the entire day going back and forth between the two of them, pacing, thinking about this pair.
Look, sometimes it's a mistake that you realize. It's a lesson you learned, but a little too late.
Okay. Okay. Matt, did you have any thoughts?
Okay, let me just write that down. Never say that to Caitlin again. There's my journal entry for the day. Okay. Matt, any other thoughts on this episode aside from, shields and opening and whatnot?
No, I think this was a very good, middle entry in this arc, it was great. I could also just go for some spice right now, locked inside. I want some of that Star Wars spice.
Yeah, it sounds like that's already in process. I think even more so than Bad Batch, I think these three episodes are going to play really well as one.
Yeah.
Four episodes. I think they're going to play much better as one big arc.
I agree.
As Sam Witwer said, this is 50-50 classic Clone Wars and new school Clone Wars. So we'll see how it all goes. Some people last week were like, we waited so long for Ahsoka and this is what we get. But this was always what the arc was going to be. So it was exactly what I was expecting. We're not going to get crazy lightsaber jetpack stuff until the final four. And that's going to be something.
And I think this is like, ultimately, this is who Ahsoka is. This is her getting involved with other people, helping them out in whatever way that she can, and trying to figure out herself in the process. Like, this is exactly what this arc needed to be.
It's refinding herself with these sisters, and you help no matter what. And it's, I like the getting into the crime aspect and getting back into that syndicate and stuff like that. It's something Clone Wars has done before, but they always do it really well. And again, the animation just of all of these places and everything gone up a notch. It's wonderful. So the action is coming, and we already get some good ones. It's for me, the Anakin Ahsoka connection moment was, that was life for the next week. So
unbeatable.
Anyway, with that, we're going to go to break, but stay right there. We'll be back with so much more. Don't go far.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're back, and now it's time to look at some galactic points of interest.
Good news has come to the citizens of Lothal.
Bonus episodes, talk about points of interest. We have had four wonderful bonus episodes,
woo,
and we're so grateful to everybody for joining us for them. We were able to interview Matt Lanter, Anakin Skywalker, Ashley Eckstein, Ahsoka Tano, Sam Witwer, Maul, and the most recent one, James Arnold Taylor, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Plo Koon. All of them stopped by.
Hello there.
All right, Snap.
You're listening to my Sky Guy Brian and my Sky Girl Caitlin.
Matt Romano, your name reflects failure.
On Jabba the Pod podcast.
Obi-Wan says the Force is very, very strong with Jabba the Pod.
It was incredible.
Incredible.
And yeah, all of those bonus episodes are up right now. So take a listen to all of them. They're all on our feed. So we want to thank each and every one of them again for taking the time to talk to us. If you haven't given a listen to them, definitely do so. They're all quite different. They all have fascinating things to say. New comics from this week. We had Bounty Hunters number 2. That was it. Just the one. It's clear to did either of you check this out yet? This title? I know, Caitlin, you constantly texting me about, it's like, when is the new Bounty Hunters coming out?
You know, given how often I'm just like staring at a wall anymore, you think I would have delved into the comics a little bit more, but I haven't. So,
well, in fairness, you have some interesting walls.
I do. I really do.
Yeah, they're nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Wall watch. So it's clear to me. If you don't know the character Baylert Valance already, this comic is going to carry a lot less weight for you if you're just going to jump in with this. So it, not necessarily starting with Imperial Cadet, even though that's where his story starts. I think Target Vader, that miniseries, is definitely to really get this title. I would recommend checking that one out first because it sets up a lot that's kind of going on in this one. But you also get Boba Fett, you get Bossk, you get a lot of other bounty hunters, but it's very much a Baylert Valance affair. And who is he? He's comics only at the moment, so you can find him in, as I said, Imperial Cadet and Target Vader, and not in my heart, not yet, we'll see. Anyway,
he's getting there.
More Mando news. Robert Rodriguez apparently directed an episode of this new season, which is that we knew he visited the set of season one, but there's a photo of him definitely on the Mando set using a camera, so that's reputable.
They release directors ahead of time, so that's totally credible and legit. And
we don't know the full roster yet. We do know Bryce Dallas Howard is definitely back for at least one episode. Good. We know that Carl Weathers is taking an episode in season
awesome.
2, and we now know Robert Rodriguez. We'll just assume that Filoni is going to take one, and I imagine they'll have some of the team back from season one. I mean, hopefully.
I would hope Taika would be back to direct at least one episode.
I definitely hope for a Taika episode.
Chow.
I hope for a good, definitely a Family Yiwa and Deborah Chow.
Definitely
bring them back. Absolutely. Yeah. Deadline is also reporting that Michael Biehn has been cast on the show. We don't know as who, but that's great. I'm a big fan of him. Matt, do you like Michael Biehn?
Yeah, I mean, genre all-star, Terminator, Alien, you know, he's a great person to bring into the galaxy far, far away.
He reminds me, not quite the similar, but a little similar to Carl Weathers in that way.
Yeah.
In a genre all-star that who's still very much continues to work, but hasn't done like the action movie thing or action star thing for a while.
And real quick, going back to Robert Rodriguez, I'm really curious because they bended so many genres in season one of Mandalorian, you know, like there was a lot of, you know, there's the heist episode, with the bad guys gang, the Bill Burr gang. I'm wondering what they're bringing Robert Rodriguez in for.
Well, so you're thinking Mando's going to carry his amban in a guitar case at one point?
Yeah, exactly.
God, like, I really hope so.
Well, yeah.
Like, well, speaking of Bill Burr, Deadline is also reporting that he will be back, as his character Mayfeld will also be back.
Love those guys.
I'm imagining if he's back, his merry gang of idiots will probably be back as well. I mean, said with love, but you know, they are.
I love me a Star Wars band of idiots. I love it.
Not yes. coming back, Taro Calican, no! because he's dead.
Because he's dead.
He's toast. He's dead. The Taro Calican is toast.
You know what?
Anyway.
Here, I'm going to start here. Let's start a rumor. What if he was force sensitive and he comes back as a force ghost?
I was just going to say that. I'm into it.
You're welcome, Brian.
That is such a bad take that it has to be a rumor.
Or Mando will have a force memory. Be like, you're just a memory.
I am stunned by how bad a take that was from Caitlin Bush, who's going to be counted on for good takes all the time. You know what? Sound the hot take alarm. Ironically, it's being ironically sounded. Is that, oh my
it's just a
God.
Baby cry. It's actually
Taro
just a baby cry.
Calican is force sensitive, and he's got. Oh my! You heard it here first, everybody.
That one was just. That one was just for you, Brian.
Yeah,
I can tell it. That's my pair for the day. And now from Taro Calican, it's a natural progression to a little segment we like to call Captain's Corner.
I haven't had my muffin yet, Matt.
All right, welcome to this week's Captain's Corner. So I teased this a little bit on Twitter, but I was very excited to see yesterday on StarWars.com the announcement that they are re-releasing. Well, they've already been doing this. They've been re-releasing a lot of old Star Wars games on the Switch, on the Nintendo Switch platform. And the next one coming up is Star Wars Episode One Racer, which, if anybody's unfamiliar with, it was an N64 game back in 99. And it's the Phantom Menace. It's the pod racing. It's a pod racing racing game. And I loved it. I've already downloaded Jedi Academy, which was the first release they had on Switch. It's so fun to play these older games on the Switch, and couldn't be more excited and just wanted everybody to know.
I got Jedi Outcast, which is the second Kyle Katarn game. That was the only one, because I may have recently splurged on a Switch.
Yes.
I've joined that sweet Switch life. And the only one that was the only one I saw on there. And I'd never played a Kyle Katarn game. So I was like, well, let's get that in. But I'm excited about the pod racing game because I have they have the classic set for the PS4 you get, but I think that's Racer's Revenge. I don't think
that was the sequel.
Episode one
that was
pod
the
racer.
Sequel.
Yeah. They have Racer's Revenge. It comes with Jedi Starfighter and Bounty Hunter. And it's really cheap on PS4. But I'm excited for this one because that means we can play like online multiplayer.
Yep.
And we can already do that, but now we can do it pod racing style.
Yes.
So
Quaginero.
And turn on that voice. And you know, the whole time I'm going to be in Matt Romano's power coupling.
Oh, no.
So I checked. You put that out. I immediately checked the store. It's not out yet.
And it's not. That was disappointing.
All I could see was it's coming. It's coming. .. shortly. I'm like, well, does shortly mean tomorrow? Because
shortly means like 6 months from
audiences.
Now.
Anyway, yeah. So get us that game and open that shield.
Does
that do it for Captain's Corner?
Okay,
yeah. I'm gonna call it. That's it for Captain's Corner. Now it's time for Caitlin's word of the week.
The word of the week is trash.
Yeah.
Okay. Trash.
I love it.
I was about to say I feel attacked, but I don't. Not everything's about me. Okay, and that's going to take us into real talk.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
A lot of good comments this week. Thank you, everybody, for all the comments on iTunes and Twitter. A lot of people really loving the bonus episodes, and we are so happy. Trust us, we're so happy to provide them.
Yeah.
And if we have the opportunity, we will provide more. Clone Wars Actors and Clone Wars
Cast.
They
kept us going just as much as they did you, like, truly.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So if you want to join the fun with your co-stars, Come join us on the show. But one interesting thing on Twitter, JBarner22 treated us to a tweet where he tweeted, I realized there was actually a Loathcat in the first that first appeared in Clone Wars back in season 5 in the episode To Catch a Jedi, just a fun fact. And this is correct. I was completely wrong last week where I was like, oh, it's the first Lothcat we've ever seen in the Clone Wars, blah, 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 because we see him on Rebels all the time. There is, I couldn't see that it's definitely a Lothcat. I guess if it's on Coruscant, it would be a Coracat or a Catasant. What's the Coruscant cat shipping name, Caitlin?
Coracat. Yeah.
Coracat. Okay. Coracat. So that, thank you for pointing that out.
Catasant.
Catasant.
That is
so basic. That's the bargain basement.
Yeah. That is so, that is the, Coracat. That is the, you know, you're basic.
Basic Star Wars. Yep.
You know what, Matt?
You're basic.
Anyway, well, anything else? Anything else for this real star-studded, amazing episode? Any final thoughts, Caitlin Bush?
I hope everyone out there is managing to keep sane and safe, and you know, looking out for, as Ashley Eckstein has told us, you know, looking out not just for yourself and your loved ones, but for everyone around you.
Yeah.
That's it.
Final thoughts, Matt Romano.
Yeah, the same. I mean, we're all still at home, obviously going a little bit crazy week by week, but yeah, I want to thank everybody else
perfectly
for
fine. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, yeah. You're always living in isolation.
Don't I look fine?
Yeah, you look great. And speaking of looking great, you know, I also want to thank everybody that's checked us out on YouTube. Anybody that's been following the show on YouTube has seen Brian. But you saw us. We had a nice little studio set up. And then now we kind of transitioned to this work from home setup. And I hope everybody continues to check it out. Stop by, leave a comment, trying to answer back and talk to folks. So, yeah, check us out on YouTube. Keep listening to the show. And we'll keep doing what we're doing from here.
Yeah, that studio's not gone. When we get back to the Starbinger, we'll get back to that studio.
Yeah, we'll
studio.
Get back to it. It's just
I miss. I like that chair there a little too much to let it go.
Yeah, I like it.
He feels powerful.
Yeah, I do. I feel powerful. It's false power, but power all the same. And just to echo what Caitlin said in these times, you know, as Ashley told us, be an Ahsoka. Mm-hmm. Don't be a Pike Syndicate member, I guess. Nailed it. Anyway, well, with that, we're going to toss this episode down the shaft straight to 1313 once more. But join us next week for the seventh, for the eighth. What was this? Was this the seventh episode?
Oh,
my God.
No,
the seventh. I had it right.
Six,
the seventh
this
episode.
Is the sixth episode. This is the sixth episode.
Yeah, this is six. We're going to have the seventh episode. So we're reaching the halfway mark of Clone Wars Saved. I can't believe it. The seventh episode of season 7 of Star Wars, The Clone Wars.
Yes, sir.
Where we'll be breaking down the new episode and we'll also cover everything and anything else going on in the galaxy far, far away. We also may have more special bonus episodes coming your way. We're not sure yet. So just be on the lookout, subscribe, and they'll just pop up. In the meantime, feel free to reach out to us on social media if you so choose. Caitlin Bush, you can be found where?
I can be found at Caitlin M. Bush. That is C-A-I-T-L-I-N-M Bush, like the beer, not like the president's.
And Matt Romano, open that shield and let us know where you can be found.
You can find me at M-A-T-T-R-O-M-A-N-O, Matt Romano on Twitter.
Oh, he kept it going. Okay.
Yeah, I did.
Persistent voices that just don't stop are so annoying, isn't it?
It's a good
And
radis.
I can be found on Twitter at Brian Silliman. That's at B-R-I-A-N-S as in Sky Guy, I-L-L-I-M-A-N. Stretch out with your feelings and share your
thoughts.
We love hearing from you. Subscribe, leave a comment, and give 5 stars if you're feeling generous. Smoke them if you got them. Take it, Sheevy, and remember, hope is like the sun. If you only believe in it when you can see it, you'll never make it through the night. This is the way we have spoken. The Force will be with you. Always. Hutslayer, if you would be so kind as to do your thing.